Are you a Christian? I want you to think about that. Are you a Christian? Just really think about that and give a serious answer to yourself. Am I a Christian? If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. If you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you are commanded by God to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means that you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. If the Holy Spirit controls your life, the evidence will be the fruit of the Spirit will be in your life. That's the whole sermon. If you want to go to sleep, it's okay. That's all of it. I'm just going to give you five passages to back up what I said, and we're going to talk quite a bit about the last passage. I hope you'll look them up as we go along. I realize some of you don't do that. Some of you will do that. But I hope you'll look them up. It's just five passages, and we're going to talk about the facts that every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And God commands you as a Christian that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means that you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, there are certain results that happen automatically. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. Acts 2:38. This is the first time after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that people were told what to do to be saved. Peter had preached a sermon, and he ended that sermon by saying, I want you to know for sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want you to know that. I want you to accept that. They asked, what should we do? And Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said to these people who believed in Jesus, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for, tell me, forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit Himself as a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit Himself as a gift. And so every Christian has the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your life. It is God the Holy Spirit, and He comes to live in your life. This verse promises that. This verse promises that if you believe in Jesus, you repent and are baptized, that your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will live in your life. The next scripture I want you to look at is Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Paul is writing to Christians, and he's saying, however, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Romans 8, 9, I want you to notice the last part of the verse. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your life, you're not a Christian. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your life, you're not a Christian. The Holy Spirit was given to you when you became a Christian, and you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have Him, you're not a Christian. If you are a Christian, you do have Him. He lives within your life. Now I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We use this scripture for our devotional thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Do you not know that your body is a temple, is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Because the Holy Spirit lives within you, you need to use your body to bring glory and honor and praise to God. If you have any feelings at all, if you have any conscience at all, knowing that the Holy Spirit is within you will make a lot of difference in where you go and what you do and what you say. Everywhere you go, you take Him with you. Everywhere you go, you take Him with you. As a preacher, I'm always fascinated that people have a hard time just being normal around me. They have a hard time just being normal. Some of them, I've had people who want to act out and show me that just because I'm a preacher, that doesn't mean they're going to act perfect around me, and they'll do all kinds of stuff. And I've been wedding rehearsal dinners and stuff in which some Christian will come up and make sure that I know he's drinking. I mean, he'll make sure that I know he's drinking. Other people will try to tell dirty jokes or try to say something off color or whatever just to show that I'm not going to make a difference with the preacher around. Other people go to the other extreme and behave themselves when they're around the preacher. You know, they want to act like they're perfect little angels. But most people have a little difficulty acting normal around a preacher because somehow or another he's connected with God in some kind of special way. Well, the fact is, I'm not any more connected with God than you are. Bible teaches New Testament. In the New Testament, all of us are priests. So all of us have the same connection. But I do want to tell you that everywhere you go, you have the Holy Spirit with you. And I think if we realize that, it would make a difference in some places we go. If I go to the movie, if I'm a Christian, if I go to a movie, I'm taking Him with me. If I really realize that, I'd be embarrassed at some of the movies. Everywhere I go, my body is a temple, is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So everywhere I go, He's there. I can't hide from Him. He's there, everywhere. Everywhere, He's there. So I take Him wherever I go, and whatever I do, He's involved with me doing that. That should make a difference in how I live. That should make a difference in how I live. Now I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18. We've already shown you from Scripture that every Christian has the Holy Spirit. That your body, as a Christian, your body is a temple. Your body is a dwelling place of God the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian. Now look at Ephesians 5, 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. That word dissipation is kind of hard to understand and to translate. It's the word prodigal. It has to do with somebody that just goes off and wastes all their money and lives a wild life. So getting drunk is a waste. It's wasteful to do that. It is wild parties type thing. So do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But I'm to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I am drunk with wine, the wine controls what I do. The alcohol controls how I act. And it is alike in that one area. When I am drunk with wine, the wine controls what I do. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit controls what I do. And this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit is an idea of ongoing, continual thing. In the Greek, you can't translate it in English, but actually it is teaching be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is an ongoing process. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that happened to me 10 years ago and then I brag about it for the rest of my life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is something that has to happen continually. It has to happen every day. It has to happen every hour. It has to happen over and over and over and over again. It's not something I do one time. It is something I continually do. And for the Christian, this is a command. This is a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not a command to non-Christians because the non-Christians don't have the Holy Spirit. They can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't have Him. But if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit, here's a command to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually, over and over, all the time, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. Now, even though you are a Christian and the Holy Spirit is in your life, He is a gentleman, and He does not force Himself upon you. In other words, you can have the Holy Spirit and live like the devil. You can have the Holy Spirit and do all kinds of sinful things. But you are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. Now, I hope most of you agreed with me up to this point. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But the Bible teaches that if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, dwells within your life. He dwells within your body. Because that is true, you need to glorify God in your body. You need to think of yourself as I'm going around everywhere I go, I'm carrying the Holy Spirit with me. Therefore, I need to make sure that what I do and what I say and how I act is respectful to Him. And then I am being commanded by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. Now, probably we could find a lot of results if I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life, these things happen. I just want to point out one aspect of what happens if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. We should turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now I want us to think backwards. My preacher used to say I thought backwards anyway. But anyway, I want you to think backwards. I want you to think about these nine qualities. And I want to talk about each one of them a little bit. But tell me right now, tell me out loud, according to this text, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where did they come from? The Holy Spirit. They're the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life. Pay attention to the next statement. Some of you are asleep, wake up. Pay attention to the next statement. If you do not have these nine qualities in your life, it is because you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life. If you do not have these nine qualities in your life, it is because you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life. Love. Did you know the Bible commands me to love my enemies? In my humanness, I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. The Bible said I'm supposed to love those who persecute me. I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to seek their best good no matter what. In my humanness, in my natural man, just the person I am, I really love the saying. I don't get mad, I get even. I like that. That my human, I just like that. The fact of it is, if I'm a Christian, what happens? I love them. I love them. And I'm supposed to love my enemies. I'm supposed to love my enemies. Man, that's difficult. I'm supposed to love everybody just as much as I love myself. Right? Second greatest commandment. Love others the way you love yourself. How do I do that? How is it possible that I could ever love people who are my enemies, who misuse me and mistreat me and say things bad about me and all that? How could I possibly love them? How could I ever seek their best good? I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. And then I can do that. That's the only way I can do that. I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. I've been commanded to allow Him to control my life. And if I allow Him to control my life, then He will produce fruit in my life. And one of those fruits is love. I love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy. This is much, much deeper than the outward ha, ha, ha type stuff. You know, I think a person can have joy, real Bible joy, in some of the saddest times of their life. They can have that feeling that everything is going to be okay. God's in control, and I'm going through a tough time right now, but I can have that inward joy. That joy that is beyond explaining, but joy that I can be happy with life. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. Most of us have trouble with peace. Just a couple of weeks ago, I told you I was having a hard time because of the Medicare deal, about to drive me crazy. And I knew that if I'm right with God, I can have peace. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't make any difference how crazy the government is or how crazy the insurance companies are. I should be able to have peace. And it bothered me a great deal that I let that get to me. Not because things don't get to me so much, but because I believe that the way I can have peace is my relationship to God. You see, I don't think I can get peace by changing other people or changing circumstances. I think the only way to have peace is have a relationship to God. And if I don't have peace, I need to know what to work on. Let me use the illustration that I've used before. And I hope you get the point of the illustration. Don't get hung up on the fact that he uses the same illustration over. Get hung up on the understand what he's talking about. If my truck has a dead battery, putting new tires on it will not fix it. If my truck has a dead battery, washing it will not fix it. If my truck has a dead battery, rebuilding the carburetor will not fix it. So what does that got to do with what we're talking about? If you don't have peace, changing other people will not fix it. If you don't have peace, changing other people will not fix it. If my truck has a dead battery, the one thing that will fix it is to put a new battery in. Right? If I don't have peace, the one thing that will fix it will renew my relationship with God and allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. That's what will fix it. And then I can have peace in the midst of whatever's happening. Doesn't make any difference what's happening. I can have peace because peace comes from the Holy Spirit producing His fruit in my life. It does not come from outward circumstances. It does not come from other people. And it is amazing how many of us would think, if my boss would change, I would have peace. If my wife would change, I would have peace. If my husband would change, I would have peace. If my children would behave, I would have peace. You know? The way I get peace is from my relationship to God. It is not from those people changing. If I could change the circumstances in which I live, I would have peace. If I could back up and have things like they used to be, I would have peace. No, that's not where it comes from. It's like putting a new set of tires on a vehicle that has a dead battery. It may seem like a good idea, but it's not going to do any good. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I get peace from God. Not from circumstances, not from other people. I get it from God. And I want to tell you, I told my Sunday school class 2 or 3 weeks ago, that is one of the most amazing lessons I ever learned and one of the most difficult lessons to learn. I think I got it and then it goes away. I think I got it, and the first thing I know, I'll say, well, if this person would change, then I could be peaceful. If they'd make sense out of the welfare insurance law, Medicare and insurance laws, I'd have peace. I wouldn't be worried to death. And I was worried to death for 3 or 4 weeks about it, and it bothered me on two levels. By the way, I got that solved. I'm completely happy now. Completely at peace. I decided what I was going to do and finally understood it. I still think it's crazy, but I understand it anyway. But the fact is, where you get peace from is your relationship to God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's where I get it from. Love, joy, peace. Quit preaching and went to meddling. Patience has always been a problem for me. I fought a bad temper all of my life. And it embarrasses me, some of the things I do when I lose my temper. I lost my temper with my wife this week. Don't tell I'm admitting that. But anyway, and it would have been very easy for me to blame. Well, my dad had a short temper, so I just inherited it. It would be very easy for me to just say, well, you may not inherit it, but for 25 years of my life, I was around my dad and saw him time and time again lose his temper. And so I learned it by example. I could even blame my wife and said, if you had to live with her, you'd lose your temper too. but the fact, and that was a joke, by the way. Some of you didn't get that. Some of you, but the fact is, patience comes from my relationship with God. Whatever my wife does, I can be patient if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life. If I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life, I can be patient with people. I can be patient with things. I can be patient in any circumstance. And when I lose my temper, I do need to apologize to her, and I did in an email, not personally, but I did an email. So that's a pretty big step for me to apologize in an email. But anyway, the fact of it is, her changing would not change what I am. And where the lack of patience come from is inside of me. She may have created the circumstances that called inside of me to show, but she didn't cause me to get mad. We say, so-and-so made me mad. They can't make you mad. There's nothing they can do to make you mad. Nothing. I don't care what they do. Because you can have patience as a result of your relationship with God. That's where it comes from. If the battery is dead, replace the battery. If you don't have patience, work on your relationship to God. Not trying to change everybody. And there's two good results from that. The first thing is you're not going to be able to change them anyway. And even if you could, it wouldn't solve the problem. Any of you ever taught a group of kids in real school, high school or whatever, or church, and the worst kid in the class moved away? You know what happened? Somebody else, the worst kid in the class. You know, you think, I got to get rid of this kid, everything would be all right. And if circumstances work, couldn't you get rid of that kid? Everything's not all right. Some other kid's misbehaving then. So, and you see, the problem is not those kids, it's me. And that's what I need to realize, that the fruit of the Spirit is patience. That I can have patience. And if I don't have patience, I need to work on my relationship to God. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. You see, when I diagnosis is 90% of the solution. If I keep putting new tires and washing the truck when the battery's dead, I'm still going to have problems, right? If I work on the carburetor, put a new muffler on the thing, do all kinds of stuff. If the battery is dead, that's the one thing I got to work on. I got to replace the battery. And if I don't have love, joy, peace, and patience, guess what I got to work on? My relationship to God. Because no matter what you do, you can bring it out of me, but you can't put it in me. In other words, you may work circumstances where I would lose my temper, but you didn't cause me to lose my temper. The reason I lost my temper, because I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit to control my life. If the Holy Spirit controlled my life, I would have patience. And the Holy Spirit controlling my life is an ongoing process. It's not something I do one time and it's over. I have to do it all the time. I have to do it every day. I have to do it every hour. I have to do it all the time to allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. And when something goes wrong and I don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, I know that's what I need to work on. That's where I need to go. That's where I know to fix it. Not to go change you, but I need to work on this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness. I said for years, I wish I could define kindness. I don't know how to define it. I know it when I experience it. I know it when somebody's kind to me. But I can't give a definition that I like. I looked them up in the dictionary and I didn't like them. You know? But kindness, a person can be kind in the worst circumstances in the world. Everything's going wrong. You can still be kind to somebody. You don't have to be a grouch all the time. You can be kind. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. That's just doing good stuff. You know, just doing good things. Where does it come from? Tell me. The Holy Spirit. Faithfulness. A person who's controlled by the Holy Spirit is faithful. He's faithful to his wife or her husband. He's faithful. He's faithful in his job. He does what he says he's going to do. He's faithful to his church. He's faithful in every area because the Holy Spirit produces that faithfulness in him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. While I can't define goodness, I love my definition of gentleness. The King James translated meekness. And it would refer to a horse that's been trained. Now, is a trained horse weaker than a wild horse? What's the difference? What's the difference in a trained horse and a wild horse? One of them's under control. Their strength is no different. They're just as strong as they were before, right? And here, this word he uses, gentleness. A person who's controlled by the Spirit is gentle. He's meek. He's still just as powerful as he ever was. But it's under the control of the Holy Spirit now. So meekness and gentleness is not weakness. It's controlled strength. The last one is self-control. Self-control. Tell me where it comes from. The Holy Spirit in my life. If I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life, if I want these qualities in my life, if I want these qualities, I have to have the Holy Spirit control my life. I wish I could tell you, once you start doing that, you won't ever have any more problems. It's not true. You have to keep on doing it. Do not get drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled with the Spirit. Believe it or not, she's even going to play the piano for me. She didn't get mad at me. Some of the rest of you did the way you looked at me. But anyway, it's an ongoing process that I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life. And this is one of the best lessons I have ever learned in my life. And it is one of the most difficult lessons I am learning. You see, when things go wrong, when things just go haywire, everything goes wrong. If I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit, I can have peace. So it's okay. And I can tell you this. It's one of the easiest things I know to tell you to do. That's what you ought to do. It's one of the most difficult things in life to do when the problems happen to me. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning that you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. If you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control as evidence. That's the way you live. It's there. If you're a Christian, you're commanded. You're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to control your life. None of us are perfect, so none of us do it 100% accurately. None of us do it just like we ought to do it. But you ought to be better doing it this year than you were last year. I find that some of them are easier to acquire than the others. I've always battled with the patience thing, with the temper thing, always. And while I think it is better, when I think I got it under control, something wild happens and I lose it. And it's the same thing with peace. I mean, I think I'm at peace, and the Medicare thing drove me nuts. I mean, I didn't have any peace for 2 or 3 weeks, just worrying about that and being all upset about that. And you see, what I wanted to do was fix them. If you guys would get that stuff straight, I'd be okay. But that's not the truth. That's not where I get peace from. That's like putting new tires on the car that got a dead battery. If I don't have peace, it's because of my relationship to God. That's what I need to work on. And if I know what to work on, at least I can work on it. I'm not always wasting my time doing something that won't help me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you want them, let the Holy Spirit control your life. Let's stand as we sing.